It's good to be with you. Ken, I haven't been privileged, as some of the brethren have, that's already spoken, to have been blessed to attend every meeting that you've had during these past 15 years. But I have been here for several of them, and I've always enjoyed being with you. My wife, Imogene, and I have been in the state of Kentucky most of the week, spending most of that time standing beside the bed of my mother-in-law, her precious mother, whom is very, very critical. The third weekend of last month, I felt like I was in one of the best meetings that I'd ever been in my life. And that was in the state of Ohio, the city of Cincinnati, at the annual meeting of the Cincinnati Primitive Baptist Church. And that hadn't been too far back, and I'm still rejoicing over the blessings I received there. And yesterday morning, when we were preparing to leave the motel room to go to the hospital, I said to my dear wife, my bride of 40 years, I feel like that I would like to go to the Smoky Mountain meeting. I didn't get any argument out of her, because there was other members of the family there with her mother, and she walked over to the telephone, and before I knew it, well, she was making reservations. So we made reservations, and we drove a little over 200 miles to be here last night to hear Elder Piles preach, and here for today, tonight, and part of tomorrow. Maybe, as Brother Joe so ably preached, and he talked about unity, maybe that's why I desired to come. So, I know you don't mean me, but I mean you. And I pray and I labor for peace. But at the same time, we all know we don't want to sacrifice truth just for the sake of peace. But we know that Jesus spoke about peacemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers. Brother Lonnie spoke of his family during his discourse, and he said that Lonnie Jr. and other members of his family would get together at home and talk about how they remembered him being down playing with them, going fishing with them. When he was talking about that, I said, I didn't get to do that. And then he told you that he never did that. The Lord blessed Imogene and I with four children, two boys and two girls, but their dad was gone a lot. But I had a wife that felt like that on every opportunity, if it was all possible, when I went away, that she and the children went to. They went alone. And when our children get together today, they're all gone now and out on their own. Our youngest one is 29. A few months he'll be finishing law school. They've done well, and I thank God for that. But Imogene and I are left now with a pretty good sized house. Bedrooms are empty a lot of times. Sometimes she'll say to me, well, why don't we get rid of this house and get a smaller one? I said, honey, this is an old Baptist house. If we get rid of it and have just one or two bedrooms, where would they come? Where would they stay when they come to be with us? And when the children come, we need it as well. But it does get a little lonesome at times. And as Brother Joe has talked about Elder Monsey, sometimes Imogene will say the same thing to me. Ernie, if you're not going to sleep, get up and go to one of the other bedrooms. If you're going to turn and toss all night, or if you don't want to go, I'll go. Preachers don't get a lot of sleep, do we, brother? We turn and we toss, we pray and we worry and we wrestle. Maybe worry is not a good word. But we are concerned, aren't we? We are concerned about Zion, and we pray for the peace of Zion. Our children get together now at different occasions, and they come to see us. Some of them live near us. But you know what they talk about? They talk about their visits among Old Baptist people. They mention this elder and that elder, or this family and that family, how they enjoyed being in their home. How that they gave up their beds, and many times they would sleep on the floor and give us their beds. They fed us the best food that could perhaps be purchased. Don't we have a wonderful family? God's family, the Old Baptists. I'm just saying this in a way of introductory, because when their dad was gone and they were at home with their mother, they knew that dad was gone. I trust by the leadership of the Spirit of God to tell the story of Jesus. There's a song that has those words in it. Tell me again the story of Jesus. Don't you love to hear the story of Jesus? Brother Joe's text was, be still and know that I am God. About 35 years ago, that text hit me square in the eyes, in the face. Because, you see, I was with another order of people, and I really believed that we would be in heaven based upon what we did here in this world. Brother Lonnie talked about our works following us. I thought that I had done enough works in just a few years that I would have a crown and so many stars that I wouldn't have room to put them. But one day that text came to me, be still and know that I am God. God began to teach me things that I had never seen before. And he taught me that he was the sovereign ruler of the universe. That he was indeed the Savior of his people. He didn't come to try to save them. He didn't come to want to save them. But he came to save. My text will be found in 1 Timothy, chapter 1, verse 15. This is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief, Paul said. I believe if a little child of God could be blessed of God to see and understand what that scripture really says, that they would have to be a believer in salvation by the sovereign grace of God. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world. Do you believe that Christ Jesus came into the world? I'm sure that you do. But do you know there are many believing Christians today that deep down in their heart do not believe the record of the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you believe that? Do you believe that Jesus was virgin born? As the scriptures teach us. Thank you. Christ Jesus came into the world. Hundreds of years before he came, God spoke through the mouth of the prophets, telling us that he would come. Isaiah, in his prophecy, chapter 9, verse 6, says, for unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. Did you hear those words? A child is born, a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Here's prophecy of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. A child being born. We back up just a little, I believe. In chapter 7 of his writings, verse 14, he said, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. The virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel." This is the story of Jesus, brothers and sisters. "Thou shalt call his name Emmanuel." We come to the writings of Luke. And we find in Luke chapter 1 where the angel Gabriel was sent of God to a virgin by the name of Mary. To a virgin. You remember the prophet had written, "A virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel." Luke chapter 1, verse 26, for just a few words. "And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God." Was sent from God. Did you get that? "Unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary." Gabriel began to speak to this virgin, began to tell her that she was highly favored of the Lord and had found grace in the eyes of Almighty God. Notice in verse 29, "When she saw him, she was troubled at his saying," I can imagine, "did you? And cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not." Over and over we find those words, "Fear not. Fear not, for I am with thee. Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great. He shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." That's good news, isn't it? Here the angel Gabriel speaking to this little virgin, this little Jewish virgin, telling her what has taken place, that she has indeed found favor with God. She's highly favored of God, and she has been selected of God, chosen of God, to bring his son into the world. He said, "Oh, God could have picked any virgin." No. Couldn't have been just any virgin. It had to be of a certain lineage, did it not? But we go on for the sake of time in verse 34. "Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" She was a virgin. She herself had questions about this. When she heard the angel Gabriel speaking to her, who was sent from God, brought a message to her from God himself. "How can this be, seeing I know not a man?" The angel answered and said unto her, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible." You know, in our high places of learning today, my oldest daughter, when she was in college, she came home one day and she said that. She said, "A professor of mine said that it would be impossible for a woman to give birth to a child without the aid of a man in the natural realm of life." She had joined the church when she was a young girl. I said to her, I said, "Karen, what do you believe about that? How do you didn't even respond to the comment of her professor because I knew he was a fool. Because God's Word said that. But I said, what do you believe about that? She said, I believe what God's Word says. That's what I wanted to hear her say. I believe that that happened. And she also said, I believe as the Bible teaches with God, nothing shall be impossible. What a blessing it is to come to that place where you believe that. The last verse we will read here, Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Do you believe that Mary conceived of the Holy Ghost and brought forth a son, and they called his name Jesus? This is that child that Isaiah spoke about when he said, for unto us a child is born. We preach as primitive Baptists, and I trust you believe that Jesus Christ was verily man and verily God. Sometimes someone will come to me after I say that in the discourse, say, Brother Ernie, do you mean that he was half God and half man? No, I don't mean that at all. I mean he was all God. He was all man. Because Isaiah went on to say, for unto us a son is born. You see, the child was born. A body was prepared in the womb of the virgin, and she gave birth. Here the angel brought word that this would take place in her life. Now let's go over to Matthew, and maybe we'll come back to Luke chapter 2 for just a word or two. But in Matthew chapter 1, speaking of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, that is in marriage, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Now, see, you don't have to take my word for that. Take God's word for it. She was found the child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. I can understand how Joseph would be troubled over this, couldn't you? The natural mind, the natural man. But I'm also thankful that he was one that was, you know, didn't just do things in a hurry. But notice in verse 20, but while he thought all these things, sometimes we need to be still and just think. I believe that's what Joseph did here. He just was quiet for a while, be still and know that I am God. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. I believe that put his mind at ease. Don't you think Joseph might have just thought back, been blessed of the Lord to think back maybe, and pick up on some of the words of the prophecies that had been spoken about this one that would be born to the virgin? And looked at his espoused wife and said, she's the one that God has made a choice of to bring his child into the world. I believe his mind was put at rest completely. She shall bring forth a son. The angel still speaking. She shall bring forth a son. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, which means Savior, for he shall save his people from their sins. Didn't say he hoped to. He'd like to. He would if they let him. But simply said, he shall do it. You know, saving is a vast subject of the Bible. Some of God's children only know about one saving, and that is the new birth. And they don't understand that. But when you talk about saving, they immediately think about the new birth. Question to you. How did Jesus save his people when he died on the cross? Think about that. We'll get to it in a moment, the Lord being our helper. Verse 22, now all this was done. I want you to listen to this. We usually stop at verse 21, but there's some good things following that. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet. Did you get that? Which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet. Well, we're not prophets today. But we are ministers of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But just as the Lord used Isaiah and other prophets as a mouthpiece, He uses you and I, brethren, as a mouthpiece. That's all we are, is to carry a message, the story of Jesus, the story of victory. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. But notice, which being interpreted is, what? God with us. This way I put it. God came to earth in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, you mean He's not here today, not in person, as He was for those 33 and a half years when Jesus was here, but He's here. The third person of the Trinity, the Holy Ghost, is here. He's in you, and He's in me. He's still in body, but it's my body and your body, because Paul said over and over again, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Sometimes my people at home say, Well, Brother Ernie, why do you say so often that we need to pray that the Spirit will be with us when we assemble ourselves together in the name of Jesus to worship Him in spirit and in truth? If He dwells within us, well, He's already here. Well, that's true, but we need the manifestation of the Spirit of Almighty God. And I'm telling you, child of God, because you don't have it many places, you're not praying for it. And we need to be praying. Feel me now, Lord. I cannot tell thee how, but He's able to feel us, isn't He? Feel me now with thy Spirit. So the Lord spoke through the mouth of the prophet. Now what did Joseph do after he received this message from the angel? It says, Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. So there we learn that he was born. Now, for just a moment, in Luke chapter 2, about verse 10, it says, The angel said unto them, Here's an angel again, appeared unto those that was watching their flock, the shepherds. And the angel said unto them, Fear not. That's three times I've already read those words, fear not. Behold, I bring you good tidings. Good news. Great news. Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Now, if you get hung up on that all people, think that's to everybody in that race, you better read about old King Herod. Because when he got the news about the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, he wanted to put him to death so that, you know, he told the wise men, when you find him, you come tell me where he is, so that I go and worship him too. He had no intention of worshiping him, but he wanted to destroy him. And after about 2 years had passed, they did not come back and tell him. He didn't know where he was. So he decided, I have all the children from 2 years on and under put to death, and I get him. But the Lord was ahead of him, wasn't he? He'd already moved him out of the way down in the land of Egypt. So it's not talking about everybody in Adam's race when it says to all people, but it's all that he come to die for. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. He was born the Savior. Some people got the idea, and they've got this because they've been taught it, that he's going to become a Savior. He's already a Savior. He was born the Savior. He lived a Savior. He died a Savior. He was buried a Savior. He arose a Savior. He ascended a Savior. He's seated at the right hand of the Father today, a Savior. And he will ever be a Savior. What a Savior we have. So we see that it was prophesied that he would come. The angel came to the virgin and told her what was going to take place in her life. It took place. She conceived of the Holy Ghost. She brought forth a son. And now he's born into the world. What was our text? 1 Timothy 1:15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world. He came into the world. The gospel according to John. You know, some people say, well, that's John's gospel, Matthew's gospel, Luke's gospel, Mark's gospel. No, it's not. It's the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew gave his account, Mark gave his, Luke gave his, and John gave his. But it's all the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So in John's account of the gospel, chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Boy, we're going to figure that one out, I hope so. Some people say, well, that's talking about this. No. I'm not talking about this written Word. I'm talking about a living Word. The second person of the Holy Trinity. In Little John, or 1 John, chapter 4, I believe, along about verse 7. It's chapter 5. About verse 7. So there are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. So here it says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He said, the same was in the beginning with God. Without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life. In the life was the light of the world. The light shines in darkness, but the darkness comprehended it not. We're going down to the 14th verse. It says, the Word was made, what? Flesh. And dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That's Jesus Christ. He came to this sin-cursed earth. But notice the remainder of our text. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came in the world to do what? To save sinners. Now, will you agree with me in God's Word that He came to save sinners? That's what God's Word said. Now, if He came to save sinners, and He did, He either saved them or He didn't, right? That's the only position you can stand on. He either did it or He didn't do it. And I'm here to tell you He did it. On the authority of God's Word. Now we go to Galatians chapter 4, verse 4. It says, when the fullness of the time was come, God did something. When the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to do what? To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Do you know, in order to be adopted, there's got to be some legal work performed. And Jesus Christ, our elder brother, did all the legal work in the plan of God's adoption. When the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, under the law of sin and death, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And the next verse said, and because ye are sons. What? And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying what? Abba, Father. And because ye are sons, covenant sons, there. And brothers and sisters, He will send forth the Spirit of His Son into every heart of those that He made a choice of. And you know what? It's an effectual calling. They will be born to the Spirit. Every one of them. But the question I set before you a while ago, how did Jesus save His people when Matthew said there in 1:21, He shall save His people from their sins. That was about 2,000 years ago He died on the cross. Is anybody here 2,000 years old? If you are, hold your hand up. Why would I ask that? Because you weren't there in person as you are here today. You ever hear that song, were you there when they crucified my Lord? I sure pray I was. I wasn't there in the person that I am today, but I was there, brothers and sisters, because Jesus Christ is my head and my representative. So, how did He save them? He saved them in redemption. God sent forth His Son to redeem them that were under the law. Now, you know you can learn a lot about a person when you hear them pray. You know that? Oh, I can just hear some of you now saying, oh, you're not supposed to listen to people pray. Well, when we have public prayer, you should join in and pray. But you know, we do hear people pray, don't we? You know, you can hear Jesus pray. You know, you say, well, I'm going to read to you the Lord's Prayer, and most of you go to Matthew chapter 6. Well, that's not where I turn to. I want to read to you the high priestly prayer, a part of it, of the Lord Jesus Christ. John chapter 17. And these words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come. Jesus Christ had an appointed time to be born into this world. I just read it to you from Galatians 4:4. When the fullness of the time was come, he also had an appointed time to die. That doesn't mean that you do, but he did. And we're not going to get into that. But anyway, he had an appointed time to die. How do you know that? Because he said the hour has come. They tried to take him again and again before that hour came, and they could not take him. But when that hour came, he laid his life down in the hands of wicked and sinful men. Here he is in prayer. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify thy Son, he's talking about here. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee, that thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give, not offer, but give what? Eternal life. To whom? To as many as thou hast given him. Every one that the Father gave him. And that's not just a few. That's a number so great that no man can number. But he knows every one of them. Notice verse 3. And this is eternal life. Did the question ever enter your mind, what is eternal life? Well, listen to Jesus in his prayer. And this is eternal life, that they might know thee, the only true God and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. Do you know the Lord today? Have you had an experience of grace where you've got eternal life? You know, there's even some old Baptists across the country that believe you're going to get eternal life after a while. In the resurrection. You're going to get a glorified body in the resurrection. But you've got eternal life now, brethren, if you're born to the Spirit of Almighty God. Now are we the sons of God. Now. He says, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. What did the Father give him to do? What was the work? Save his people from their sins. And here Jesus says in this prayer, I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. He said, before that, I have glorified thee on the earth. Question, how did Jesus glorify the Father while on this earth? By doing the will of the Father. By doing the work the Father gave him to do. How am I going to glorify my God while on this earth? By doing that which he commands me to do. How are you going to do it? By doing that which he's commanded you to do. Are there anybody in this house today, listen to me, that feel to be a condemned sinner? If you do, you're born of the Spirit. Do you cry to God for mercy? Evidence you're born of the Spirit. Do you hunger and thirst after righteousness? You're born of the Spirit. Have you been baptized? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost? If you say no, you're not glorifying your Father. Because he has commanded you, the Lord has, to be baptized in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Those are things he commands us to do. And we glorify our Father when we do these things. Jesus said it so simply. He said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. And what? Glorify your Father which is in heaven. He says, verse 5. Now, Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. What? How can he say that when he was born of the Virgin? The Son wasn't born. The child was. The Son came from heaven. How do you know that? Jesus tells me in his own words. John chapter 6 verse 38. He says, for I came down from heaven. I came down from heaven. Not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which has sent me. That all which he has given me, I should lose nothing. But raise it up again. At the last day. You ever think about that word when he said raise it up again? You know, you can't raise nothing up again. That means the second time at least, doesn't it? You can't raise it up again unless you've raised it up at least once before that. He raises us out of that death of sin to a life in Christ. And I believe with all the believing power that I have that that's the first resurrection that's taught in God's Word when we're raised out of that death of sin to a life in Christ. And oh, what a blessing it is to have a part in that, isn't it? That first resurrection. But I also believe that one day when my body is sleeping beneath the sod, that my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the one that came to this earth, was born to the Virgin and lived upon this earth and suffered as he did and went to that rugged cross and died. He purchased me, and he's going to have what he purchased, brothers and sisters. John chapter 19, verse 30. We find there Jesus is now on the cross being crucified. A few verses before that, he says, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scriptures might be fulfilled, he said, I thirst. Do you know it was prophesied in the Psalms that he would say while on that cross, I thirst? That doesn't seem to be very important to some people, but when you think about it, it is. Because he fulfilled every prophecy that was spoken of him. No matter how small it may seem, or how insignificant it may seem to be, but it was prophesied he would say, I thirst. And he did. I thirst. There was a vessel of vinegar at the foot of that cross. They stuck a sponge in there. They saturated it with vinegar. They put it on hyssop. They raised it to his lips on the cross. Oh, bitter vinegar. A bitter death he died. But when it touched his lips, what did he say? It is finished. Now that means it's complete, brothers and sisters. It is finished! And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. He died. He was buried in Joseph's new tomb. But on the third and appointed morning, he came forth just like he said he was. That he would do. When the sisters arrived there, they found an open tomb. Aren't you glad they did? They're still debating in 1997. Who rolled a stone away? You don't have to debate that. Just go read Brother Matthew's writing. He'll tell you that God sent an angel and rolled back the stone. The angel was sitting on it. When they arrived, they looked in. They didn't see Jesus. The story of Jesus, part of it is they found an open tomb. Aren't you glad they did? But not only did they find an open tomb, they found an empty tomb. And the angel said, why seek ye the living among the dead? They were looking for him, but they were looking for him in the wrong place. Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. I tell you today, brothers and sisters, here in Tennessee or wherever I go, you're not serving a dead Lord, but you're serving a living Christ. He's alive today and forevermore. He was seen by many after he came forth from that grave. He says, touch me, handle me. I'm not a spirit or a ghost like you think I am. I have flesh and bone. He taught them many things, and then out on the Mount of Olives, one day he just left the earth and ascended back to heaven, where he is today seated at the right hand of the Father. We read in Hebrews 10 and 12, I believe, it says, but for this man, when he had offered one sacrifice for sins, forever sat down at the right hand of God. Why did he sit down? He had finished his work. What was that work? To redeem his people from under the curse of the law and from their sins. He paid the sin debt. He paid it in full. Our sins were imputed into his body. Brothers and sisters, it tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:21, he who knew no sin was made sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Oh, Baptists sometimes are bad to say, I don't have any righteousness. You ought not say that. You have righteousness. I have righteousness. But it's not my own. It's the righteousness, the imputed righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. My righteousness before God are as filthy rags. But we have the righteousness of God imputed into us. He's at the right hand of the Father, where he ever liveth to make intercession for us. And he says, come boldly unto the throne of grace, that you may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. He walks with us. He talks with us. He holds us up. He carries us along. He's that friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Not just a Savior, but He's a friend. He's our all in all. He's our sufficiency. And you know what? One day, and I close with this, one day He's going to come. He's going to take you home. He's going to take you home to glory. Over there in Thessalonians chapter, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we read where it says, the Lord Himself. Think about that. The Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. Do you really believe, and I know you do, that one day you're going to see as He is? It's going to be a reality. Isn't that good news? So my children understand, when Dad was gone, he was telling the story of Jesus, telling God's children what the Lord had done for them and what they ought to be doing to bring honor and glory and praise to Him. So if you're here today, you love the Lord, it's because He first loved you. If you have that desire to follow Him, don't put it off till you get back home. Do it now. When you have that impression to do it, may God bless you, is my prayer. Thank you.